This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello and welcome to West Coast Bias. We're back again. It's right at that time. Seems like all sports converging.
October is my favorite.
This is the best time of the year.
October, November.
Unless you're a UCLA football fan.
Yeah, we already covered that in the What's Brewing Show.
He was so depressed.
I am your host, Jake Merrifield. I'm here with my good friends, Jamal Artis, Mike Riccolotto.
What's up?
Hey.
Yeah, you know their Twitters and all that stuff, whatever. This is kind of the West Coast Bias feed. It was kind of underground. And we're here to talk some LA sports. Presumably, good things are happening for LA sports. But are they? I don't know. I mean, it feels like it. My Lakers season tickets are selling like hotcakes. That's good. The Dodgers are about to start the playoffs. That's good, at least until they lose.
It is good, Jamal.
At least until they lose. You know, so, you know, hockey spinning up.
Hells yeah.
Are the Kings going to be within 10 games of the playoffs?
Hells no.
No.
Okay. What about the Ducks? Quack, quack.
No.
Hells no.
Darn it.
Everyone's rebuilding in the ice-cold arenas of winter.
Well, I guess we're done with West Coast West, so see you later. West Coast to Best Coast. Now, Jamal, you were here decked out in Dodger blue, and we just found out tonight the Nationals had with a big late game surge with seventh, eighth inning or whatever.
Eighth.
And so now what that means for the Dodgers is they're playing the Nationals.
They're playing the Nationals, five-game series.
Best of five, and that starts on Thursday.
Starting Thursday.
You are trying to procure tickets for yourself.
Yes.
And you were lamenting something to me. I kind of thought you were complaining about one thing, but it turns out you were complaining about something else entirely. So please, I want to start the show off by registering your complaint against Major League Baseball, specifically Dodgers, ticket prices or lack thereof or what. Talk to me, fool.
One of the stories that came out today on Twitter was the fact that the Dodgers were... with the Brewers now being eliminated, where in terms of the secondary market, so your StubHubs, your VidSeats, your SeatGeeks, where the lowest in terms of demand, the average ticket was only $140 compared to the Yankees, where the tickets were $400. And I was talking to you about this and I threw it out there on Twitter. It's like, this is a pretty dumb thing to complain about. You can't expect, for one, the secondary market isn't what it used to be. A lot of these teams across all sports control a lot of their tickets now in the secondary market. In fact,
that's true.
In fact, if you go to the Dodger website to get playoff
tickets, Barry's tickets is not making quite as much of a dent.
Right.
Which is, you know, yeah.
Which is, that's the way the teams want. It's their tickets, so they're...
As long as they don't restrict the season ticket holders?
Right.
I'm okay with it.
Right. They control
it. If they do, like you stupid low-class Clippers... Yeah, screw you, Clippers.
And some other
team. Another story.
Diamondbacks, Chargers. So they're in control of a lot of those tickets. And my point was, you can't expect people who a week ago for Dodger games were paying on average $25 for a ticket to want to start paying $140 for a ticket just because the calendar switched to October.
Well, and Jamal, this might be, and I apologize. You know, Bill is the king of asking questions where he asks you a question that is super minute and there's no chance of you having an answer at your fingertips, and yet he expects you to because he's an asshole. But I'm going to ask you, I'm going to do a roll call of playoff teams. And I want you just to guesstimate, kind of hopefully you can come within like plus or minus a year or two of how many times they have consecutively been in the playoffs and or won the division, you know, what their sustained success has been. First of all, the Dodgers.
Yeah, 7 years.
They've been in the playoffs 7 years. Yep. They've won the division 7 years. Ago.
Right.
How many years have they gone to the NLCS?
Out of those 7 years, it's four.
Four and seven years, they made the NLCS.
Right.
Okay, so just right there, you do have a little bit of not fans not wanting to go to the games,
right.
But you have fans strategizing.
Right, they're saving their money.
That's what it is.
Right.
They're saving their money, right?
Right.
So with that being said, other than the Dodgers, what about the Brewers?
The Brewers, well, since they lost today, this was the first time that they made the postseason 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Okay, and they're out of it anyway.
Right.
The Cards.
The Cards. This is the first time they made it since 2015.
Okay, the Nationals.
This would be... they missed it last year, so this is three out of the last 4 years.
And please, if you're going to fact check this, just you know, give Jamal like a plus or minus on this one.
Three out of the last four years.
The Hotlanta Braves.
The Hotlanta Braves. Second year in a row they make the playoffs. They hadn't made the playoffs before that since 2013.
The Athletics.
The Athletics. You know, it's a one-off game, and it's the first time that they get to host it. So, and the, after this, that means they haven't hosted. They haven't played in a one-off game since 2014. Oh, they played last year. They played last year, but it was in New York, and it was a one-off game. It was a wild card game, so now, they didn't even get to host it.
Now, this team has been very successful. The Astros.
The Astros. This is their 2015, 2016. They missed it. So 4 out of the last 5 years.
4 out of the last 5. Yeah. Not 7 in a row.
Right.
4 out of the last 5.
Right.
The Twins.
Well, the Twins haven't made it since the early Obama administration.
Since like Little Big League, the movie.
20,
right?
Well, yeah. No, 2010. Yeah, okay, it's whatever. Been a while.
Yeah. Kirby Puckett and whatnot.
Yeah. Right? Because, yeah. Again, they didn't get to host the last time. It was a one off game and they weren't to host.
The Bat Rays.
The who?
Tampa Bay Rays.
The Rays. The Rays. Geez, the Rays haven't made it since 2013.
Then what about the Yanks?
The Yanks, this is the third year in a row that they make it.
So F all these guys that are complaining about anything about Dodger fan or Dodger support. Right. What team has the most fans at their games every year in a row for like 9,000 years consecutive?
UCLA. No, go, wait, what? Sorry.
Yeah, not UCLA. Not go F yourself. Anybody in Major League wants to complain about Dodger attendance or Dodgers fans or whatever. There's going to be people in the stadium. I know just randomly today in my travels around town, like every fourth person I know is going to the stupid game on Thursday. So, look, much ado about nothing. Now,
yeah.
Mikey, are you going to the game?
Not at all, no.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to watch it on TV?
Oh, most likely, yeah.
Why are we going to watch it on TV?
Because it's exciting as hell. Baseball playoffs is actually fun.
It's awesome. Baseball playoffs are awesome.
And, yeah, I've been dragged into... Here's the thing, like... If you've been listening to the What's Bruin show, you know that I just am not a huge baseball fan, but I am a fan of
sports.
Not just sports, but well, how can I say this?
Well played sports.
Well played front office strategies.
Oh, I got you.
Know, just what the Dodgers front office has done since Magic Johnson and company has taken over is
don't bring a Magic up. That's this podcast.
Yeah,
Persona non grata.
That's what he does for all his teams, by the way.
Persona non grata.
Exactly. But I mean, since they moved away from the McCourt, let's go that way. Since they moved away from the McCourts, the new owners have made. You know, especially at the beginning, at the start of their ownership, you know, they made some questionable decisions, which turned out to be really good. And they continue to do that. Not only do they develop their own talent, everything is not everything. The majority of stuff is homegrown. But they're just very smart with how they're managing the team, how they're running the team. You know, they still have a few issues to figure out, like their bullpen. But for the most part, 105 wins in a season.
106.
7 straight, you know, playoff appearances, division championships. It's just impressive. You know, yeah. it makes you pay more attention to what's happening. Going, how are they doing that? How is this organization who was just crap, you know, under McCourt? I mean, and you can see, you know, how all that. I mean, the fact that McCourt couldn't pay his players at one point just shows how shitty of an owner he was. He didn't care. He just wanted to make money. What he didn't realize is that if you actually have a good product like this, like what this new management company management organization is doing, the money's just going to roll in. I mean, you know, people are, you know, the flags are starting to pop up, T-shirts, jerseys, they're all over the city.
And Jamal's wearing all of it right now.
That's he's wearing about 37% of all of LA right now. But no, I mean that's what pisses me off about what McCourt did or didn't do was the fact that he couldn't see the potential with this team. And even though it was slow going in the beginning, this new management, this new ownership, just they took their time, they knew what to do, and bam, you know, Bob's your uncle. 7 years in a row, they're going to the freaking playoffs.
Darn right. Now, Jamal.
Yes.
How are they going to do against Nationals?
You know, unfortunately, it's baseball and it's a crapshoot. You got a team that wins 106 going up against a 93 win team. This is any other sport. Well, we'll throw hockey out because that's a totally different sport. That's another one where this happens a lot too. But if this is basketball, we'd be saying, you know, sweep. The Nationals would be like if they win one game.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's a short series. Anything can happen.
Baseball's weird like that.
Who are the who are the big pitching matchups going to be?
For right now, they're saying game one is this pitcher for the Nationals, Patrick Corbin, and the Dodgers haven't announced their game
who
one starter.
Who pitched tonight against...
It was Scherzer, Max Scherzer, okay. Who's their ace.
Yeah, that's their guy. Yeah. Like they pitched the
so
guy.
So he's probably going to pitch in the third game? Second or third game?
Actually, it's more than likely their second game is Strasburg, who they pitched tonight, but he only pitched two innings. So it's very likely that he'll start on Friday, game two, and have Scherzer in game three. These two teams met in 2016. That time, the Nationals were the favorites. They had home field advantage. The Dodgers won their division, but they had a lower record than the Nationals.
Right.
This time, it's flipped. The Nationals had to play in game. I mean, you know, everyone's expecting the Dodgers to kind of implode with their bullpen in the playoffs. You know, I'd like to. The Nationals have such good starting pitching that it's a little scary for the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers had one of the best hitting teams of all time in terms of the Dodgers. I mean, they broke the National League record in terms of home runs by like more than 30 games. But in the playoffs, it just doesn't work that way. The guys you expect to, like, for example, we'll talk Cody Bellinger, who might win the MVP this year. And the guy's hitting 176 in the playoffs over his career. So, you know, the way the balls fly out in the regular season, it's not quite the same in the playoffs. So,
I mean, to bring it closer to home, I mean, UCLA baseball, they were the number one team for the majority of last season, and then they just faded. You know, right. I think it was in the second round, I believe. So, like, just...
Yeah.
Baseball, I just... That's the other thing that's intriguing about playoff baseball is, like, it's... Like playoff hockey, like anything can happen. The energy is so, you know, intense. You know, it's just there's, you know, even a team that isn't expected to go far, you know, even coming off a wild card can, you know, find themselves in the World Series.
Right.
It's just depending on who's hot at that time.
Right. A game could be 0-0 and then one pitch and it's 1-0 and the game is over.
So we're looking at this whoever guy versus probably
Ryu. Yeah. It looks like he pitches better at home.
Uh-huh.
He's been their most consistent starter all season.
And then the second game would probably be Strasburg versus Walker Buehler?
I'd like it to be Walker Buehler. Same reason. He pitches better at home.
And will they pitch Walker Buehler in the second game? Is that like some sort of affront to Kershaw?
No.
Okay.
Because if they're smart, they can tell Kershaw.
Well, that's not the question I asked. Is that some sort of affront to him, though?
No. No, he's not the same
player.
Like,
he's not going to... Okay, okay.
He's not the
so
same
he's
player.
Like, so then you pitch him game three?
You pitch him game three.
Okay. Because
he's a veteran.
Then you can sell him on, it's the closeout game.
Right. If they're up to nothing, I want Kershaw going in a closeout game, especially on the road, because he's a better pitcher on the... He's just as good a pitcher on the road as he is at home.
And Ryu's not.
And Ryu's not by a lot. And we're talking about, like, in baseball, you know, margins. No, these guys are, like, one or two runs.
And the Buehler is...
Same. Better at home by...
Better home.
By like 1.5 runs.
Okay, so I mean, at least that part sets up nice for you.
Right.
And then if they go to game four, how does that work as far
Rich
as the rotations
Hill,
go?
Rich Hill is going to be the
Will they roll with Rich Hill?
Yes.
And then in game five, it's like whoever you're...
It's Ryu.
It's back to Ryu?
At home.
At home.
Yeah.
And that's what you roll with.
Yes.
That's
your best pitching.
That's your best guy this year.
Yes.
Okay. So with that being said, give me a prediction.
Nationals in four.
Wow. That's not
guys
promising at all.
It's baseball. It's baseball, guys. It's baseball. When you have the kind of pitching that they have,
Jamal, you really just hate the Dodgers.
No, I don't.
You do.
I don't. It's just
he hates their bullpen.
This can be a bad matchup. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, so when you say they lose in four, do you think they lose in four off of just like heartbreaking games where they blow it at the end, or you think they just get beat by the Nationals?
I just think they get beat. I think the Dodgers hitters don't show up, which they can very well have
any case for that.
Right.
What about whether the Dodgers win or lose? The Braves are taking on the Cards.
Right. I think it's going to be the Cards, actually.
It needs to be cards.
F Atlanta.
And that would be Atlanta Braves have the home court or have the home field advantage. Mm-hmm. And you just think the Cardinal way dominates them.
The Cardinals have a better bullpen, and they have this one starter, Jake Flaherty, who is just really good.
Yeah.
Along the same lines as like a young version of these Scherzer, Bueller kind of, you know, or Bueller kind of guy. You know, just, he's had a breakout season. He's been the race. If he gets to pitch two games, I think he could beat Atlanta.
Okay. Well, hockey's also starting. Yes. And I don't want to talk a lot of hockey, but hockey's starting.
Too bad. We're going 40 minutes.
Go
straight through.
All you need to know is the Ducks and the Kings are rebuilding. They both fired their coach.
There's your 40 minutes.
I have one very important I have one very important question about hockey. When do the playoffs start?
April.
That's the next time I'm gonna be watching hockey. It's literally
second week of April.
Have you been to a game?
I mean, recently?
Like ever?
Oh yeah.
You been to a Staples Center game? Kings of the Staples Center?
I have.
Okay, good.
Maybe. No. I know they only been to the Forum.
Dear God, Jake.
So the Kings of the Forum.
You know, that was a thing. You know, the Kings made the game experience really fun.
Yeah.
When they sucked.
Uh-huh.
This was like, you know, several years before, you know, basically the time when Staples Center opened until they won the Stanley Cup. You know, it's just a really fun experience.
I have a question.
What's up?
So how many times in the last 6 months have either of you, and I know you've been multiple times to, how many times during last King season, I should say, did you guys go to Staples Center?
Well, I have a half season.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's what I'm saying. So
and
five times.
I think he took me to like
times,
three or four last year.
12 times.
Last year I probably went to a small estimate. I'm saying anywhere between 12 and 15 games.
We're going to use this to transition into the NBA, but I want to.
I think six. I probably went to about six or seven.
And then you obviously are down near the Mausoleum and the LAFC stadium constantly.
Right.
Mike, and I don't know how much you've been down there, Mikey, but.
I need to buy my crack somewhere.
That's my point. Compared to years past, what is the environment around Staples and around the Mausoleum in regards to, you know, all just the horrible, horrible problems we're having with the, you know, homeless and transients and vending on the streets and things? Is it noticeably worse at Staples than it has been in the past?
No,
it's
the same.
Yeah.
It's the same, and
it's weird too because there's a huge development right across the street.
Yeah, there's a bubble around Staples Center that I don't think like homeless don't really, but like if you're talking about people who like do the
I don't care about the Big Ramp hot dog, other than I'm not going to eat them because they're serving cockroaches up on those things. other than that,
they're not good.
Other than that, but I, you know, whatever. No. As far as that goes, what I'm really worried about
is there's a bubble.
Okay, good. There's still a bubble.
There is a bubble, dude.
So when I drive down there and I take the kids down or whatever to watch Laker games,
fine.
I'm going to be...
No one's going to cause you. There's a bubble, I swear.
Just let me put this out there. You know, I took some fancy pants lawyer's advice a couple years ago, and they're like, oh my gosh, you should take the train.
I
down
love taking
from
the train.
North Hollywood.
I love taking the train.
Take it down to, you know, down to downtown and go to Philippe's and, you know, go to Staples Center and all that stuff. And I'm like, sure, let's do it. And I took the whole family down. And on the way down, a prospective pedophile was like making lewd glances at my daughters. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm like a man of the law.
I believe you've said this before.
And on the way back, a giant homeless dude accused my wife of assault and stopped the train. And we were stuck on the train for 45 minutes because this dude like...
I've not heard
accused my small wife of battering him, right?
I have not heard stuff like that happening these days.
And what I'm saying is what I've been worried about is when I go down to Staples Center, I'm going to have to deal with more of that stuff. And I'm not looking forward
to it. No, not at all. No.
Okay, look. I mean,
coming from the west side and taking the train, and it's just me. You know, I didn't have my kids with me. But just going on my own, it's just really quick. You know, you pull up at the station, which is two blocks from Staples Center. And, you know, at that point, you know, especially within an hour and a half before face-off, tip-off, kick-off, whatever the hell you're going to, you know, fans just jump on the train. And by the time you're there, like everyone that's exiting at that station at that point is, you know, they're all, you know, there for the game. So there's just... you know, there's, you know, safety in numbers, but, you know, aside from that, like Jamal said, there's just a bubble. And it's just weird how just it's becoming uber gentrified. I mean, yeah. the fact that they have like a very that Nike billboard, which there is no night anymore, you know, across from the Staples Center, because everything is so goddamn bright.
And that's fine.
You know, you have LeBron James and Serena Williams, which is cool on those billboards, which are curved around that one building. But it's like there is no darkness around Staples Center and LA Live.
I'll tell you, I drove from down at LAFC last Wednesday after the game. I took Fig home, Figueroa, past all that stuff. All I saw were USC students by that area. And when I got to Staples Center, it was just what Mike was saying. It's just cars, Ubers, people getting in and out, restaurants, clubs, whatever. There's just, it's weird.
It's kind of like New York.
Yeah.
In
that area.
Yeah. Just that area.
Look, all I'm saying.
This is like a 3-block radius. Right.
I don't want to turn this into a political discussion. I really don't.
That's
for anybody who's going to.
But just functionally speaking, there's no disputing the fact that the quality of walking around on an LA street in the last 5 years has degraded immensely.
Yes.
Especially large swath of that. Yes. There's nothing you'd say about that. Whether he's saying how bad the traffic is or whether, you know, what obstacles you're going to have to dodge, or the graffiti level, or people just sleeping in the streets. And it's a shame, and it's a horrible thing. And, you know, and hopefully
it
gets better at some point.
That's still there, but it's on the outskirts of
all
that.
But my question is, is it affecting that?
No.
And that makes it feel better.
Now,
transitioning. We forgot to talk about this on the What's Brewing Show. But our friend, soon-to-be friend, we haven't actually talked to him live in person, but he sure does like to DM us because he seems like a super nice guy. And I've been enjoying his appearances on the Petros and Money Show, you know, the inspiration for the What's Brewing Show.
Yeah,
of course, you know, our spirit animal is Petros Money. But George Reitzer, mm-hmm, of Pac-12 Apostles, and I want to say of the doing a lot of things. You know, he's a Pac-12 Network guy, former Oregon tight end, NFL tight end, Jacksonville Jaguar with Mercedes Lewis, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but anyways, he sent us an article about the California's Fair Play to Pay Act. And I wanted to talk about this on the What's Bruins Show. We didn't, because I was too busy ranting, raving about how
you were depressed. I
guess poor the Bruins are.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about this whole thing? Because I have thoughts, and I'm very conflicted, but I do have thoughts, but I want to know what your thoughts are.
At least you're not Doug Gottlieb, who's just going off.
Well, I know, Mike, you have he's in a special circle of hate for you.
Well,
he's in a special circle of hate
A lot of people.
I don't understand.
Jamal,
I don't understand people who are opposed to being able to use their likeness while they're on campus. I mean, that's just a simple. If it's popular,
I don't think that's a major objection. But continue.
I thought that was what. I mean, isn't that what the law is supposed to? That's what the law is spelling out. So I don't know how you could be opposed to that. What I was thinking though is the NCAA going to war with California isn't working, because there's other states that are.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Pennsylvania is about to pass it too, and
Pennsylvania, New York,
right.
Florida, and I think South Carolina have also joined.
Those are a lot of big schools in those places.
Yeah.
Talking about revenue schools. So, but my thinking for California is like, if they're really going to go up against California and talk about NCAA athletes, it's really going to bite the NCAA in the butt, because you're going to have all these Title IX situations.
That's the basis for a reasonable objection.
Right. But a lot of these Title IX situations, but it's going to bite them in the butt because there are going to be a lot of boosters who are going to be like, well, you know, if we're going to lose our sports that we enjoy because you're being so obstinate when it comes to this, then I could see just like a breakaway situation. Basically, I mean, California alone could create its own.
We have a pretty fly sports league.
Yeah, across the board. And then I'm thinking about how many sports is this going to affect? Because if say the worst case scenario, NCAA says California, you are no longer part of the NCAA. Any schools affiliated with California, right? And I'm thinking to myself, well, okay, so there goes water polo, there goes softball, there goes swimming, and we're talking about entire sports falling apart. Baseball. Because there's so many schools in California that thrive in a lot of these sports, and that's outside the money, the revenue sports. So then they're going to get in trouble with like boosters and people who support those things. I mean, for every what's his name for Oklahoma State that whatever, the big oil guy who builds everything for them. There's also guys like Phil Knight, who, yes, he likes his Oregon football, but he plows in a lot of money. I mean, he basically decided, I want Oregon to have baseball again, and put all his efforts into getting that up again, and then all of a sudden Oregon's a top 25 baseball school. You know, that there's going to be so many more problems that I don't think the NCAA is looking at if they're going to be this obstinate about fixing the situation.
Well, I mean, it also seems that a lot of people are thinking that this is going to create, opportunity to cheat. This is going to...
They do it anyway. I've been listening. Yeah, whenever this is brought up, the guys on the radio say it's done anyway, or on podcasts.
I think it's a lazy argument, but
it's
done. It doesn't mean it's not true.
It's done anyway.
And it just and it seems like, oh, you know, all these players are going to take advantage of it. You know, what was it? Gavin Newsom today on who's the morning guy? KLAC. Dan Patrick.
Patrick.
You know, he said that there is no longer a student athlete, which is complete BS. Because if athletes in California are now allowed to make money off of their own name, not every single student athlete in the goddamn state is going to be able to do that. Because
not even a small percentage,
exactly
0.05 of. Like all NCAA athletes.
Yeah. Let's say Dorian Thompson-Robinson has an immaculate season, you know, the rest of the way, comes into Heisman talk, blah, blah, blah.
Mike is talking science fiction.
This is an example. This is an example.
Pick another athlete, Mike.
I'll go this direction. Caitlin Ohashi, UCLA gymnastics superstar. She has every right to profit off of her name, you know, and especially in a non-revenue sport, you know, she has become such a big name, primarily because of her skill, and to be able to have a company come in and say, you know what, you're an amazing gymnast, we want to give you blah 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 this to promote Pepsi or Under Armour or this or this or that. Not every student athlete is going to be able to do that. Do you think a third string cornerback on Stanford is going to be able to sell his likeness? No, this is.
Well, the third string cornerback on Stanford is somebody's, 15-year-old daughter who's in the school because her parents paid for it through that one guy.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm just
Wow. But even so, and then even at a lesser level, you know, the starting quarterback at San Diego State. What's his name?
I don't know.
Exactly. You don't know. He's not going to be able to do it.
Gundason?
Yeah, exactly.
That's Arizona.
He might finish the season with like 4,000 yards. Do you think he's going to be able to just like say, hey, I'm the top quarterback in the Mountain West? Nobody's going to give a shit.
I mean, he might be able to sell cars in Poway or something.
Exactly. You know, he might. Yeah, exactly. I mean, whatever. That'd be small time, but it's not going to be as effective if he was like the starting quarterback, the successful starting quarterback at UCLA or Stanford or USC. You know, it's just insane to say that, oh, this is going to ruin, amateur athletics. No, it's not. If anything, it just gives those student athletes a chance to finally make a profit off of their own name.
Here's the thing.
And get back NCAA football.
I only
EA
have...
Sports. It's in the game.
I don't have any objection to if a player can make some money outside of their scholarship, outside of their, you know, if they're, you know, Cam Newton or their, famous college football athlete or basketball athlete here. I have no problem with the NCAA changing the rules to allow them to make money going to some sort of Olympic model. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And I feel like thus the mounting pressure is going to force the NCAA to do that at some point. There might be this pressure leveled by the state. With that being said, I have an extremely strong objection to this being initiated the way it is from the state level. I think especially California and Gavin Newsom and his grandstanding ass want to go on TV with LeBron James and wanting to make this about him and his bullshit.
That's when it got ridiculous.
Policy.
That's when
this
it got
is the
ridiculous.
Thing. I don't look. California doesn't need any more laws, and that's my biggest disagreement with this. I don't disagree with the intent of it. And that's fine, but this is just a way for him to
look what I did.
That's all it
bullshit.
Is.
Bullshit. Who gives a shit?
And by the way, I try to be as nonpartisan as possible. But everything about the way that California is being run right now makes me sick. And this is just a way for him to garner, to get himself on to, you know, LeBron's barbershop show and all that stuff. And I find that deeply offensive. And I don't think that this is something that California's got enough problems. I don't think this is where they need to be drawing a line in the sand. I think there's a lot of the shit they need to be doing before they get to this. Because at the end of the day, it's just like what Mike said, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, Jamal, but this law, when it goes into effect, really only affects a very small percent of student-athletes anyway. Probably the student-athletes that, probably 99% of the student-athletes this law affects were going to be millionaires anyway.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time playing the fucking violin for these guys because they're getting going to get paid a couple years before. Look, in a perfect world, they would be able to go make money off their likeness when they're in college, and I have no problem with that. But I do have a problem with California taking time out when it should be doing other crap, you know, doing this. That's my biggest disagreement with it. With that being said, I really don't think this is going to affect anybody, but the, you know, on a football team, it's going to affect the top, you know, players on the team, which is just like the skill position guys. And maybe occasionally a lineman or something. In the South, it's going to be the whole team. The whole football team is going to get paid.
Yeah.
Great. Good for them.
But this
does raise a giant, huge inequity at almost every university in the country. UCLA is going to be one of the exceptions because they have gymnasts that are marketable. They have women's basketball players that are marketable. They have softball players that are marketable. But for every other institution in the entire goddamn country, this creates this giant, you know, inequity. And all I want to, I just want to make it clear. Fine. You want to let these dudes get paid if they're worth the money? Fine. But don't complain about the freaking women's softball team not having any money or the, you know, these other teams not having money because they don't have the earning power to do it.
Yeah.
Because nobody freaking cares about their sport.
Yeah.
They can go play and they can have their scholarship and all that stuff, but don't get all pissed off when they're not getting paid too. Don't make this into something like that because that's the backside of this argument that nobody wants to freaking talk about.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I mean, there's a reason they're called revenue sports.
Well, anything that will take away or, you know, peel off the facade of the NCAA being an institution for amateur sports. It's just not.
You know, and the Mr. Anarchist Jamal over here is fine. You know, and like I said,
I thought that was me. You're
not really an anarchist, are you?
I just don't care.
I mean, that's Jamal's more an anarchist. Nice. Communist, anarchist, Russian.
There is a difference between communism and anarchy.
I know.
Jake.
I know. I absolutely know.
God
there is.
It, Jake.
I know there is. Anywho,
socialism
like
for life. I'm just kidding.
It's not anarchy. It's
hey, man.
This podcast is not anarchy.
We all hate Larry Scott and don't think
that's
his ass
should
be
getting
$13 million a year. So anything that'll upend that kind of system, I'm fine with. Sorry.
It's fine. Yeah, you know, I'm sick of all the grandstanding. I just wish people would like actually do something to like help the most people for once. You know, I mean, just the once. You know, there's a lot of problems going on in California with all the people in California. Not all the citizens, not all the taxpayers, just all the people in California. We got some problems. Let's worry about that. Okay. Anyways.
I think just last point on this. I think just because it is California, if New Hampshire did this, it wouldn't be a thing and it would probably get shut down. But the fact that it's California, the most, is profitable the right word? I don't know. I'm tired. I'm not thinking. The most.
They shouldn't bring the most money, but
they're
also
the
biggest
money maker in the state that makes the most money in the country. The state that has four of the biggest Division I schools.
Yeah.
You know, that made everybody stand up and go, shit, this is really happening.
And
isn't
I'll acknowledge,
it?
Even though I'm standing on my principle of, I don't think California needs to be putting their nose into this. I'm going to look like an asshole because they're going to be like the domino that falls that makes all this change.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, I will be proven wrong. It's just philosophically, don't quite agree with it. Anywho, last thing I want to talk about because, I mean, what the frick are we doing? It's like 11:30 at night. What are we doing? The Lakers, Jamal, Mike.
we were trying to counter your depression for UCLA.
They're about to start.
It clearly hasn't worked.
Training camp is starting.
It's pretty fun. Yeah,
already
exactly.
Got some bad news. Training camp is starting. We already got bad news.
The Kuz is out.
Right. Until after they get back from China, they won't know, which I don't understand.
Oh, great.
They're going to China. Hopefully, they make it back without any arrests. Hoping.
I'm pretty
it's
sure.
Not
those,
UCLA basketball.
I'm pretty sure these guys will pay for their Louis Vuittons.
I don't know. I mean, we thought the other guys would, but, you know, they didn't.
Hey, LiAngelo had reasons.
Whatever. So, I mean, so.
turns out they were stealing money from him, so maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. I guess dad didn't give him very much allowance.
Yeah.
But they're going to China. That's already an ordeal in itself.
Yeah, I can't.
It's very taxing.
I can't stand that, by the way.
It's not a great way to start your season.
Send irrelevant.
Wait, is that they start the season in China or preseason?
It's a preseason.
Oh, okay.
But it's in China.
Bottom line is they come back exhausted.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a fun trip.
But at the same time, they have AD.
Not because it's China. It's just because it takes forever to get there. I've done it. It was exhausting.
LeBron James. And LeBron James is saying things like, the offense should run through AD. God bless him.
He said
LeBron James is saying something like, you know, I'm well-rested, and I just did Space Jam, and now I'm ready to go.
Apparently they're more physical, and Dwight Howard is just killing people in practice.
Dwight Howard is like an afterthought, which is crazy, but it's like, I'm conceptualizing that Dwight Howard's going to be on the team, and like he might actually be like a solid contributor.
That's what best case scenarios for him to be.
I mean, at this point,
a contributor, but an afterthought.
You could almost sell me on the fact that Boogie not playing for them and Dwight playing for them. Like, I'm almost at the point now where I'm like, this is actually a better thing for them because you got a guy. I don't think I'm quite there yet, but like, given the uncertainty with Boogie and his injury situation, right?
Right.
It seems like if Dwight comes in and does the rebounding defense sort of stuff that he could do, not that he will do that, but if he did that, they'd be in a net better position than having just another guy that can score and could still do everything, but was injured and obviously not as athletic as he used to be. Which, I mean, the same as for Dwight, but not in the same way.
Right.
So I'm like, that's got me like intrigued.
Yes.
They got, you know, guys coming off the bench and playing point guard. Who's the starting point guard, Jamal? Is it Rajon Rondo?
They're talking Rondo or
I'll do it.
Avery Bradley?
Yeah. Jesus.
What about the folk hero?
That's where Caruso?
Dave Caruso.
No, Alex Caruso.
Oh yeah, Alex. Not CSI Miami. I want to see him
whip
some sunglasses off.
Just like
hit
a three-pointer and then like the Who music comes on.
Every time he hits a three-pointer, I want Staples Center to play the Who for him. Caruso. Anyways, Caruso's like a folk hero until he actually plays.
Yeah.
Danny Green?
Well, Danny Green's the starter. He's an off-ball guy.
There's things that are good.
Yeah. No, you know, somebody said today that they think a lot of the problem with the Lakers is they're going to be figuring out what their identity is, and I just don't think they have time for that. I really hope that they figure it out in China and come back knowing what kind of team they want to be, because I don't want to go through a October or November where...
What's our identity?
Yeah, where they're losing to the Bulls or something, or struggling against the Knicks because they don't know what their identity is.
You know what? Their identity is we have two MVPs in our team, and we're going to roll your ass up.
I hope that all that speculation where they don't know what their identity is comes from the media, and the team already knows that we're going to roll through you. Dwight's going to play defense and rebound. Other guys are going to be tenacious. Avery Bradley's feeling better because he's going to be on a winner. Rondo is just going to come off the bench and
act crazy sometimes,
and not act crazy and know his role and shut your mouth.
Kyle Kuzma's feet don't fall off.
Right. Kyle Kuzma's feet. I mean, see, we're already talking about a million what ifs before the season starts. That's where I'm starting to get a little worried, Jake. Sorry. I'm starting to get a little worried.
They're going
to
be good.
I think they're going to be good, but
the question is
the greatness. When is that going to show up?
What game am I going to go to first? That's the question.
You got to go opening night.
I'm not. They're already gone.
You already put your kids through college with that one. So
I think I'm going to go to Toronto, which I think is like...
Oh, that would be a fun one. That would definitely be a fun one.
I think that's one. I don't remember if that's an early season game. The Godfather's hit me up trying to get me to give him like premium seats for
Celtics or something?
For UCLA basketball tickets. Give me a break, Godfather. Oh, that's funny. Actually, I'm gonna hook him up, but that's all right.
That's funny.
But yeah, I can't wait.
You're better off. You should be like, if they're women's UCLA women's basketball tickets, maybe.
All right. Yeah, we'll see.
That's gonna be the premium ticket.
All right,
but it's starting. It's October. It's the best month of in the sports
world.
Still, I'm not used to October NBA basketball. Like, I'm used to starting in November, and now they've totally screwed me up. But they start with the Clippers, Utah, Charlotte, Memphis, Dallas.
Oh God, Lord. See, that's
going
4-0.
4-0 on the way to 82-0.
Well, their identity should be, let's roll right
against
away.
The Clippers without Paul George. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Utah.
It's
they're tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of defense.
But it's a home.
Right.
The Hornets, they're going to win that game.
Yes.
Memphis, young guys, but they're going to win that game. Yeah. At worst, 2-2, Jamal.
Yeah, you're right, because Memphis is rebuilding.
And then Dallas is on the come, but then they got San Antonio. So, I mean, at worst, you're looking at 3-3. Chicago.
Oh, no.
Chicago ain't shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to go to see already, but see, I want them to be like 5-1 and like really knocking people
I think
around.
It will be. I'm saying worst case scenario, they're 500. Worst case.
Right.
Like this is not going to be the, you know, the last dream team of the Lakers when they started, what, 0-8 or whatever?
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Wasn't that ridiculous? Yes. And they fired stupid D'Antoni.
Right.
We're not seeing that. I don't see that in the cards here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the first game I'm going to is Sunday, November 10th, Toronto. I think that's what it is. All right. You have anything else to say, any of you? What do you have to say for yourselves?
Just keep watching the Dodgers. Your Lakers are starting. Watch the Kings. There's a lot for L.A. L.A. is the capital of sports.
Yeah.
F you, Boston.
Shitty sports.
Yeah, you can take your yearly parades. We'll take our games.
Exactly.
Non-champagne-filled locker rooms.
Wow. That's a really great way to end the show. Jamal, what do we always say?
Yep. West Coast is the best coast. We're West Coast bias.
Ciao.
West Coast is the best coast, what I'm told.